Well, there is baseball today at American Family Field, the rare 4 o'clock start time for a weekday game. But it is exhibition season. The Reds got to get back home. They've got opening day to prepare for. He is back after a marvelous week covering the Brewers at Brewers.com. It's our good friend, Adam McKelvey, back from Phoenix. Hi, Adam.
Hi, guys. I drove in here today from downtown, and I cruised straight into American Family Field without stopping in traffic. So whatever Jessica did, keep doing it, please.
It's like I had my little traffic wand, and I said, okay, let's make this a little bit better.
Interesting this year. And the Brewers are already kind of encouraging everybody to sort of, like, plan ahead, leave some time. It's going to be a little trickier than other years.
Well, your police escort really helps out on opening day and in some of those more marquee games of the season. That really is a nice added benefit for your comp package.
I see what you're doing there, and I promise you that doesn't exist.
Okay, fair enough. Hey,
Council used to ride his bike.
Really?
He would bike down from Whitefish Bay. Now, he had like a little, a shower, either as a player or as a manager. So if I do that, I just have to cover the game as a sweaty mess. But I'll think about it.
Okay. Well, hey, got to keep it fresh. No doubt about that. I was a little surprised to see this, Adam, after a spring training. And I'll let you describe how it really went for Brandon Woodruff. He is part of the opening rotation. He's not going to pitch on opening day, but he's part of the cluster of starters who will get a crack at it in the early going of the season. I thought maybe he'd start on the injured list. So what ultimately tipped the tides in favor of the active roster?
Well, two things. One, that he felt great and is ready and he's healthy. And two, that he wanted this. And he's a guy that has, some gravitas with the organization. He earned that over the years and said, look, I want to go from the get-go. That was a surprise. And even Pat Murphy said he thought, there was a better chance that Woodruff opened on the IL, not because he was injured necessarily, but just because coming off that lat and coming off 2 years of rehab from the shoulder, he would need a little more time to ramp up. Now, that would have involved staying in Arizona where it's 110 degrees, maybe going to a minor league affiliate and getting some time there. And Brandon Woodruff just thought, I'm ready to go. So he won't come out and throw 100 pitches next week against the Rays, but he'll kind of finish his buildup, and they feel like they have enough multi-inning options in the bullpen to cover that. And, he's important, really important to this club because this is the youngest rotation they've had in a very long time. And he's going to be key in terms of stabilizing things and giving the good innings like he gave him last year in 12 starts.
Adam, big question for you, and I know you're on top of this one. Can the kids propel the crew to another NL Central title?
Are you just reading my head? You're reading my headline. I appreciate that.
I always look for your latest story. What does he have? What good stuff does he have today? And it's different going into the season, and I like this one.
This is the story of this team. They are going to go as far as these young starting pitchers can carry them. And Jacob Mizorowski is the third least experienced in terms of major league starts, opening day starter in the history of this franchise. Chad Patrick, up and down last year. Brandon Sproat got some starts for the Mets at the very end of last year, came over in the Freddie Peralta trade. Those are your starting pitchers in the opening series. All three of them have less than a year of major league service time. I don't know how to look that up. I'm guessing that it's been either never happened in franchise history or it's been quite a while that the Brewers will roll out three starters in the opening series that are this green in the major leagues. But this is the state they're in. And they are a franchise. We've talked about this many times. You constantly turn over your established talent for the next wave, and they've done a fantastic job over the last 8 years of winning. And every year the projections say they're going to be a 500 team. Christian Yelich just said this. He feels like everybody's waiting for the year they finally suck so they can say, I told you so. But every year they've managed to squeeze the most out of these young pitchers, especially young position players, and be a competitive team. And that's what they'll aim to do this year. And I just think that the story of this team right now is that young starting rotation. How good can they be?
Other new faces here, Adam, who are likely to contribute early and be key to the Brewers' success. Who stands out after what you watched in spring training?
Well, it's third base, really, that stands out to me. It's Luis Ranjifo, who signed after they traded Caleb Durbin to the Red Sox, and David Hamilton, who they got in that trade. Those are the two. One's a right-handed hitter, Renjifo, who's really good against left-handed pitching, or has been in his career. And Hamilton's a left-handed hitter who was a Brewers prospect and then was traded to the Red Sox for Hunter Renfro a couple years ago, and now he's back. He had a really, really super spring. People might remember that, you know, Pat Murphy has this habit a couple times over the recent years of making a pick for a quantum leap. It was Bryce Terang 1 year, and he took off. And it's David Hamilton this year. He has a lot of speed, but, you know, he showed he can be an impactful hitter as well in spring training. That's been the knock on him in Boston so far as a big leaguer. He just hasn't hit much. So he's going to get an opportunity to split third with Renjifo and then also back up shortstop for Joey Ortiz, who is an important, going into an important year, coming off a really bad offensive season. He plays sensational defense, so he's going to stick it short. But at some point, if they need more offense, Hamilton is the guy who could get a look at short as well. So I think those are the two that really stand out to me on the position player side as new faces that folks will want to keep an eye on.
Well, we're getting so excited for opening day here, and I love that the Brewers are in the national conversation. I was telling Greg right before the show, I was coming down from upstairs, and I took a look at the big TV here at GKB, looked up, it was on the Pat McAfee show, and guess who was on it? It was The Miz. I wish I could have tuned in to hear exactly what they were talking about, but the fact that they're, you know, in the national headlines, you're talking to The Miz just days before, and what did he say? I think the headline was something like, he throws absolute heat for the Milwaukee Brewers. I know you were just in the clubhouse. In fact, you came out of the clubhouse to talk to us here. Who are you talking to, and what do our fans, what should our fans know from what you're hearing from the players?
Well, mainly that these guys are excited for Jacob Mizorowski, because as much as Pat Murphy and even Matt Arnold, the GM, kind of downplay opening day. Opening day is one day. You know, people think you set the team and that's the team. You set the team for one day. And then often there's a roster move. How many times have we seen that over the last decade or so? But there's a move after literally one game, they're making a roster move. So the front office types, the coaches, they look at that as a snapshot. For the players, there's an honor to stand out there on the foul line. There's a really big honor to be the guy who's out warming up in the bullpen when they show your face and the crowd goes wild and everybody's excited for the start of a new season. The weather's starting to get warm. We all have our memories of opening day. So it is a big deal for him to be in that spotlight. That is a huge dose of adrenaline that's not there, with apologies to West Phoenix. It does not exist at American Family Fields of Phoenix. So how Mizorowski going into year two with so much to prove, the way a lot of the second half of last season went, did not go his way. Then he came back and was a bullpen weapon in the postseason and went into this offseason with a head of steam. If he can build on that, they've got a really special pitcher. What I wrote in my preview is they've never had a prospect like him, a starting pitching prospect.
That's awesome.
Ben Sheets was different. I mean, it's a different animal when you're throwing 104. He has a chance to be really, really special like Ben Sheets was. But that's a lot of pressure, and that's a lot to deal with on day one when you've been playing in the kind of the sleepy days of spring training. You've got to turn it on out of nowhere, and that's a big challenge.
I like what Jake Bowers had to say about Miz. Jake was asked about Miz starting opening day and what's that going to be like.
It's interesting. I mean, you never know what you're going to see, especially from him on the mound. I'm excited to see him in that environment. I know his juices will be flowing. He likes to get fired up, so it'll be fun to watch for sure.
I like how he started that. It's interesting. Never know what you're going to see with that guy. Like, they know, well, right? They're watching the same thing we are.
Guys, that's going to be the story of the season. When you're a young pitcher, Brandon Sproat, for example, like, guys absolutely rave about Brandon Sproat's stuff in spring training. He has, I don't know how many starts under his belt, a handful. There are going to be days where he gets absolutely crushed. That is life as a young pitcher. I don't mean that to say anything about his ability. But every young pitcher is going to have those days. And Jacob Mizorowski experienced this some days in the second half of last year where things just don't go your way. You're learning to work through those. There are going to be instances like that and maybe stretches of games like that for this team. And if 0-4 last year, with Jake Bowers, by the way, being one of their best pitchers, early in the season last year, which is a little scary. If 0-4 taught us anything, it's just to have a little bit of that patience. This is a marathon. We say it every year. We forget it every year and react to what happens early. But there are certainly going to be growing pains for this group. But they feel like in the long run, they're going to have enough. Even some of the guys starting the minor leagues that will come up and start games. They feel like they have enough depth to sort of navigate the lack of experience and some upside. So it could be really special. We could be watching some of these pitchers kind of come into their own.
Okay, Adam, fun one for you. Who do you think is going to have the better first pitch, Jordan Love or Jordan Stolz?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is Love, I guess, because he's probably a little more used to throwing unless Jordan Stolz is chucking ice skates at people. But it is a big difference to throw a football and throw a baseball.
Yeah.
The pitchers actually, you'll see them out there throwing footballs before games because it's a different throwing motion and it's good for shoulder therapy.
Oh, really?
So that's one thing. It's not a sure thing that a quarterback is going to throw a great first pitch. It's a different motion, a different kind of animal. And so I will go out of bounds and say Jordan Stolz finds more of the strike zone than Love does.
Adam McKelvey covers the Brewers expertly for Brewers.com. Incredible work throughout the course of spring training. He is back home. He'll be at the stadium this afternoon for an autograph signing. You just got to find him, though, and then opening day, of course, on Thursday. Adam, great to have you back.
It's nice to hear Meatloaf again, and I look forward to talking to you guys all year.
Yeah, you bet.
We do, too. Thanks, Adam.
Something about that first pitch that people don't really often think about. How many times do you throw a baseball without a glove on your other hand? Like, that's a weird thing to do. If you just take a baseball and chuck it, but you want to have some level of accuracy, it's very weird.
Well, don't some people bring their gloves, like if they have a glove?
Well, some do.
There's no rule you can't bring your glove, right?
Well, I feel like there's some unwritten rules about who should have a glove on their hand in the stands and who shouldn't, but that's a different story. But to throw a baseball from the pitcher's mound without a glove on your opposite hand, it just feels weird if you grew up playing baseball. It's strange.
Have you done the first pitch?
I did. I did it once.
I did. How long ago and how did you do?
It was like 2004, maybe 2005. I did go out to the mound. Brewers pitcher named Matt Kinney was my catcher on the other end.
Was this the year you were on the reality show?
Yes. The nice folks at the Brewers had me throw out the pitch at then Miller Park. So I've got a photo somewhere of that thing, but it got across the plate, did not bounce. It was, I would say, in the strike zone, pretty close to the strike zone, if nothing else.
So people clapped then. Gave you a woo.
Brewers weren't very good then. Not a lot of people in the stands to watch that first pitch.
Oh, no.
But still, a good moment.
Because, you know, sometimes somebody fun throws out the first pitch and it's just terrible. Then you hear, oh.
Yeah.
That does happen on occasion. It's still fun.
It's 12:51. A lot of Brewers baseball discussion all season long with Adam McKelvey.